What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. And you rolling with us on this Wednesday.
They don't want me to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently not. To pull the curtain back, John Lopez and, I mean, myself as well, and I imagine everybody else at Sports Radio 610 get excited for the Super Bowl, gearing up for it. You know, we got to go through a credentialing process, and you're fighting with it right now.
Error. Invalid.
You know what I think it is? I think it's the...
I'm not invalid.
That's such a dad joke. I mean, I get it. That's such a dad joke.
It says invalid.
It does. Yeah. It does. I think it's the picture. Yeah, the picture that you're putting in there because it's looking at it and you're like, that's a coaching picture. For some reason,
that guy.
The portrait that you have here looks like one of two things. Mm-hmm. John Lopez looks like he is the assistant offensive line coach somewhere, or and weirdly enough, I think this works. Mm-hmm. He looks like a defensive backs coach because for some reason in my brain, whenever I see a defensive back coach, they either actively look like a defensive back, like they play defensive back, or they look like they have no business playing defensive back whatsoever.
Might have played like in Division III.
And I would like you to guess which of those I think you are in that picture.
I'm going to say defensive backs coach.
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
John Carroll alum.
That's an. It's such an odd thing. But and the thing I'm hoping for, one, that we get credentialed, obviously, but two, that we are credentialed to talk about the home team playing in the Super Bowl in Santa Clara. That would be really cool. In order to do that, CJ Stroud's got to be a better version of himself than we saw in Pittsburgh on Sunday. We know it. He knows it. He very much stepped up to the podium immediately and acknowledged at least that portion of it, even though I think people still want a little bit of a pound of flesh from him in acknowledging that, you had some good things, but it's unacceptable what happened there. Ultimately, I think we all agree he needs to be better. Mm-hmm. How close is he to being better as we continue along here?
You know, my gut reaction yesterday, and I think I expressed this with you, you know, when you were talking about, well, you know, he did make some good throws. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, you know, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, no, and it does feel like that when you have just three turnovers, but at least, no, all three of
five
them.
Five fumbles.
Four fumbles. Two
lost.
Five fumbles.
Interception.
Two lost, one interception. And three of those, your three turnovers were all.
Yeah.
I think they fit under the bonehead category. I don't know. I do not believe him to be a bonehead, but I believe that those were boneheaded turnovers.
Yeah.
And that is entirely anomalous. I could see a game in which you had three turnovers and it just kind of sometimes it goes like that. Mm-hmm. Those types of turnovers was what made it kind of egregious.
Yeah.
Again, neither here nor there. How do we fix
it? That's how I felt. That's how, you know, I think that's how most, you know, Texans fans or really just anybody watching those games, like, okay, cool, really good ball to Christian Kirk there, you know, But then I kind of started, you know, digging in a little bit because we all, I think everyone here who follows this team or cheers for this team, you know, wants C.J. Stroud just get a little better. You know, you heard me talking about it yesterday. Just be average, and this team's a Super Bowl team. So I started digging in, and clearly he's pressing. Clearly that's something he needs to get over.
Wait, you got onto the tape?
I let someone else do it for me.
Tape man. Yeah, that's him.
I let someone else.
See, he's leaning into the coach. He was like, I got in the film room because I needed to see.
Got my hoodie on. Got my chaw tobacco.
Yeah, give me the scouting report, Lopez.
So I let someone else do it to me, and I was like, okay, I can see that. So it was Doug Farrar. I know you're familiar with his work.
Yeah, he does a good job.
He does a really good job watching.
Not that he needs me to say that, but yeah.
But he might. And so.
He's just somewhere waiting. Yeah. I hope Reggie likes what I do.
And so I was watching some of his his breakdown of what C.J. Stroud was doing, and it was really very telling. Like, you know, he was actually very accurate downfield when he had the time and the confidence.
Yes.
And you brought that up specifically, and we talked about it. But the one thing that I thought was interesting is he was looking at not just Steelers tape, but tape of other teams, you know, having success against C.J. Stroud when C.J. Stroud struggled.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Colts. It was, I forget the other two teams. But what he's having a lot of trouble with, and this might explain, you know, kind of in his head type things that we talk about.
Sure.
When there is a lot of pressure shown pre-snap.
And that was the fifth highest pressure rate that he had had.
Not even the actual pressure. Like, a lot of pressure shown.
Mm.
Six guys. Seven guys.
When they're mugging the line.
At the line of scrimmage. Yeah. His and he had the numbers exactly, but his success rate, his ability to get the ball to the right place was really, really down.
You can't tell me that he has the numbers and not give me the numbers.
I know, but it's shown pressure.
Sure.
Not necessarily that when they show it and then they all back off and kind of cap the backfield, the defensive backfield, C.J. Stroud has struggled. And so I don't know how you're going to fix the between the ears element, but I really feel that Christian Kirk in particular and some of their approach with the short passes and the getting the ball out, and the run game for that matter, but Christian Kirk in particular, that's a big fix for that because of what he can do on the short passes and the crossers and stuff.
Giving him easy answers when you know that there's guys at the line. Honestly, I do wonder, and I don't have a good answer to this because I have not thought about it all that much. You're bringing this to me now. I wonder how much not using as much of the play action and boots kind of mitigated some or did not give him some of that confidence, because that leak out has become bread and butter. I remember I wrote it in my notes during the course of that game, and we didn't see it nearly as much as we have in other games.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of that was also because Dalton Schultz did not seem as involved in the pass game. I don't know exactly
why.
That's
another good point, yeah.
Cade Stover got one of those kind of leak outs where he goes, blocks, and then leaks out. And I just wonder if those are the type of plays that you're talking about as well that will help him, help give him confidence, help him get a grasp on the game, and then build up that confidence as you go.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this then, the question that we put out there. Is it closer to a fix than it might appear? Or is the headspace element really, we don't know. We don't know how that's going to play out.
Not to sit on the fence. It's a little bit of both. I think it's a lot more of the former. Mm-hmm. I think it's closer to a fix. I think the issues that he had in this game stemmed from things that we've seen him do correctly before. I think the circumstance got to him in a weird way. I don't know why. Like, and I'm not going to sit here and fully speculate as to why, because I can't get in his head, and I'm not even close enough to try and start getting into his head. But if you keep him out of his head in that way, he knows how to do this. He knows even when you step up the ways to protect the football. There have been instances where he's made poor plays in those ways, but to this point this season, they have not killed you. Right, when he's made some of those poor plays. Maybe you've been a little wasteful at times of opportunities, but they've not been things that killed you in the way that, I guess it didn't even necessarily kill you, but the way that it felt like they did versus Pittsburgh. I think that you get a lot closer to the C.J. Stroud who is accurate, but then also really good with the football. D'Amico Ryans, a number of times this season, has complimented him for, oh, that pressure, take the loss on the down, live to fight another day. It felt like in this game, he absolutely was not. And I think that there has, and hopefully the game itself, the way that it played out, gave him some confidence in that you don't have to be perfect. You just need to live to fight another day and be good enough, more good than bad in these games. You've been given a blessing in the NFL. Not very many quarterbacks have this blessing to where there's some margin for error for you because of how dominant your defense is, and especially when the run game is working that way.
Mm-hmm.
Living that margin for error, I guess, enjoy that.
He really is, and I mean, it's not just, his words, it's things that we've seen for years now. He really is an accurate quarterback. It's a matter of just getting over it, getting over yourself. And even the ball to Nico, that was a big miss high. Nico slipped. Otherwise, it would have been a lot closer.
I don't know that he missed on that.
That's what I say. It would have been, because Nico would have been closer to the sideline and might have been a toe tap kind of thing. It was still high and outside, but it might have been.
But I think that's kind of where you needed to throw that.
Yeah, it might have been in the right spot. So the ability to make those throws is there. I mean, boy, this is going to be something that we're just going to have to watch, and we will be watching, and it's going to be really one of the stories of the game in New England, another volatile environment. Another place that has haunting memories, for the organization, even if not necessarily just C.J. Stroud. And another place where he's facing off against a quarterback that has had incredible success. Is he going to be able to get out of his own head enough to not make those bumbling, type plays?
Yeah, and I obviously can't speak fully to that, but I have confidence in him. If for no other reason than even in this game, and you still saw them pop up, which is what will undercut what I say here, but you saw him make the strides in some ways to respond to his own mistakes at times.
Mm-hmm.
the one of the bigger plays that he made, throwing the ball deep to Christian Kirk on a corner route, hitting him in stride.
Yeah.
One, he had protection, but they immediately came after he put the ball on the ground due to a snap that comes before he's ready.
Yeah, that was like a 3rd and 17 or something, wasn't it?
I have to check my notes in this moment.
It was in
to
that
see.
Area.
But he's had even in this game, in the small context of this game, a bounce back. Mm-hmm. And so those are the small instances of bounce back. I think if you just are able to steal his reserves, you can do that. And again, I think that they've done a good job of keeping guys around him that encourage him. I've seen some people say that, oh man, mm-hmm. he ain't been the same since you lost the backup quarterback whose name I'm forgetting in this moment. I feel like I'm Clint Sterner.
What do you mean?
Who left? Who went to?
Oh, Case Keenum.
Thank you, Case. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how Case Keenum left me. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about all the names that were not Case Keenum. I was thinking about dudes that he threw to at Houston.
Chad.
I was thinking about everybody besides Case Keenum. My brain is not helping me.
I was waiting for you to say, "What's my man's name?"
I know. Yeah. That's what I was like. I was like, "How do I embody Clint Sterner
name?
Fully
What's my man's name?
In this moment?" But I mean, yes. But I mean, Davis has been a good resource for
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
His quarterback coach has been a good resource mm-hmm. for him. There's been a lot of guys in that building, in that room, that even in other instances have consoled him. I mean, Nico Collins has talked about it, like making sure mm-hmm. to go over to your quarterback and being like, hey, you know, let's do it, right? And so I think that they're going to get him into the right space, and the technical portions of it have been more good than bad.
So confidence level.
The confidence level is pretty good that they're fixing
pretty
for
good.
Me.
Figgy, confidence level is going to get fixed. Is he closer than we thought?
I don't want to sit on the fence. I'm gonna
say decent. I know that's not a great endorsement.
Yeah, for CJ, I think we won't see the fumbles and all that stuff in this game, but I'm still a little nervous, man.
I think
the interception that bonehead one got me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I'm a little worried about that part.
No, it's fair, and you know, to be fair, it's not just you know you don't have Nico Collins, but you do have Christian Kirk. You know, all of a sudden showing what he can do. And you have a running game. You know, the run game is going
to
be big.
And that's going to be the biggest thing to help me mm-hmm. in this confidence level is I think that the run game, due to some of the tendencies that we've seen from New England, the ways that they line up with what the Texans have done and are doing recently, I think that the run game should be able to supplement and help him and get into that space where now he's in his flow state and able to do things well. I think that is all the circumstance that you have. And if you do that, you have an opportunity to host mm-hmm. an AFC Championship game, man. Now, some of that is being knocked down. We talked about some of the guys that Buffalo is losing. Also, I think it's worth noting that the Broncos are also getting guys back. Drake mm-hmm. Greenlaw looks like he'll play mm-hmm. in this game, even though Sean Payton seems to be upset about you noting that. Can you give me this audio here, Fig? Sean Payton, why is he like this? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me this? Because Sean Payton, talking to the media, I don't know why he refuses to be likable. This was a pretty reasonable question about Dre Greenlaw returning to his team. And it was really just like a, hey, you know, what does that do for you?
Yeah.
John, having Greenlaw back for this game, his ability to attack downhill in the run game, just how big is that and the timing of it?
Do you want him to attack downhill? Is that your, like, what do you know about attacking downhill in the run game? You don't know. All right, that's right.
But,
have him attacking downhill. Okay. It's good to have a healthy Dre Greenlaw back in the game.
Did that reporter pee in his cereal?
No, it was playoff mode, man. That's just playoff mode. Everything is, you know, you gotta be angry about something.
He had why? Why is he like this?
you said it. Why does he have to be unlikable? Why does he feel compelled? To be unlikable.
It's like he wants to.
Yeah.
And for that reason, as well as obviously the selfish reasons, I would like the Buffalo Bills to win. I'm becoming less and less confident that happens.
I think the Broncos would be the right pick. But hey, man, you know they're going to be have an opportunity to play here, and Josh Allen is still Josh Allen.
Yeah, please.
Yeah,
because also a note that was made on the text line.
Even here, when they just destroyed Josh Allen, they had a chance to win it at the end. Buffalo did.
That is fair.
Yeah.
You didn't have to bring that up. I didn't need that. But if it is Buffalo-Houston at NRG Stadium, mm-hmm. we were talking about it earlier, the idea of the Rockets having the happy hour before. Mm-hmm. You think the people are actually in the building in their seats when it kicks? Because I think they are.
100%.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that is the fix.
AFC Championship.
Yeah.
People will be like wanting to take their kids and their spouses and let's take some pictures. We got to get there early, you know.
No, 100%.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely.
I think that's been the issue with just getting there early. I think – a lot of people had that mindset of the same old Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Or they ain't going
to change it.
Yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
281, greetings from Texans fan in Louisville. What's happening?
Yeah.
I think it's worth noting that D'Amico defeated Vrabel twice in 2023, and the Texans defeated Drake May last year as well.
Yeah. I mean, noted. I think it's a lot different right now.
Yeah, and what's funny is I think you ask D'Amico Ryans and he'll tell you. I think he very much goes from the perspective of every year is a new year. So as much as there's a familiarity with some of the things that Vrabel wants to do, you saw Drake May in his first outing. You look around and you go, hey, it's probably going to be a circumstance where it's going to be a different team.
False alarm. False alarm.
Wow.
False alarm. I did the double check.
Oh, man.
So, no, you should thank me.
For what?
There was some news out there.
No. How did nah?
You know how people try to cop these
accounts? We should thank you.
I made a mistake. I caught it.
No,
you should thank me for fixing my own mistake.
No,
is what we're doing here.
You should say thank you, Figgy.
Ain't nobody doing that.
I'm doing my job here.
For what? All right.
There was an account that was very much like another one. That's a big one. That's trustable. Then I did the.
Oh man,
I did the dig in.
For fun, what was
that? I'm not gonna say.
Hey, let's just
don't do that. No, because then you give them credence.
Sure.
I want to know. I just want to know what the fake news was.
No, can't do it. That's why I did the double
check.
I did the double check.
I'm switching the music.
How much confidence before I get out of this, just to pull us out of this nosedive that you have put us in, how much confidence are you giving in CJ when you look over at Drake May and you saw that he had a pretty rough, outside of the turnovers, he had a pretty rough go of it as well last week?
Well, I think the difference was Drake May was just kind of having a tough game against a defense that had his number. There is confidence that the Texans will be able to do that, but it wasn't just a spit in the bit, turnovers and such.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio.
What was
6,
that man? Breaking news?
No,
man. I just want to know.
You're just not going to get
gonna
it.
Say,
you're
ain't
just
gonna,
not.
Ain't going to give them the time of day.
You're just not going to give it.
Not going to get it.
You're not going to give them more time.
I just want to know the news. You ain't got to shout out the source.
No, man.
Just,
no.
What was it?
This has been a very weird
Nico
end
playing?
To a segment. That's been a very odd end to a segment.
Nico seeing that practice.
All right, 713-572-4610. What is the wildest news Texans related?
CJ Stroud out for the year.
That could have been.
Davis Mills in.
Yeah. Go ahead and recklessly speculate on the text.
D'Amico Ryan's fired.
Let's speculate as to what the fake news was that got Lopez.
I like this better than what would have been the actual
news. I'm sure. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that. Well, no, we won't talk about the next. We've got lunchtime confessions. I forgot where we are. Sorry, we'll do it.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Not so fast, my friend. We'll get to confessions here in a second. Y'all are really good at reckless speculating. Y'all took that to places I never thought.
I'm kind of glad I did that now.
Unfortunately, this is not reckless speculation.
More breaking news.
This is breaking news. And in all reality, I don't like it. I'll tell you that up front. Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez, who is in the concussion protocol, is practicing today for the Patriots.
So how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like they might have their best cornerback on the field while Nico Collins might not be on the field.
Yeah.
And I don't like that at all.
Yeah, because every concussion is different and how they treat it and how they respond.
It's all about symptoms.
Individuality.
Yeah. It's crazy because it was Monday and today is what, Wednesday?
Yeah.
And he's practicing?
Well, Christian's, they played on what, Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, it's Sunday. Yeah, but still.
Now, of course, him being at practice does not mean that he is going to be cleared from concussion. There's there's a 5-step, protocol there, and I think at least 3 or 4 of the steps
That's a damn good sign, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. At least 3 or 4 of the steps require you to do some activity without symptoms, and so I'm guessing that that's what he will be doing at practice today, is going through whether it's the light practice or whatever without symptoms and trying to see if he has no symptoms. But either way, he is on the path on the first day of availability to do this, to being returning from protocol. That is a little frustrating. The idea that you might not have your full complement of receivers, but they will have their full complement.
And we said it earlier, I don't expect Nico Collins to play this weekend, much less appear at practice. But, I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see in the next 20 minutes.
Maybe we do get the insight where Nico Collins is at practice and we go, all right, we're on the path to recovery there. But we'll
so
see how it goes.
Concussion protocol.
Yeah, who knows?
So I realized something as I was talking about this game earlier today. Actually, it was when we were doing Cross. There's something that is always irrationally bothered me about the Patriots. Not that not had nothing to do with the cheating or their winning or, you know, the fact that they're winning again so quickly and it just doesn't seem fair. Just something about the Patriots that irrationally bothers me. And that is the New England part of it.
Really?
I have never liked it used to be back in the AFL days,
the Boston Patriots.
Mm. It's the Houston Texans. It's Dallas. It's you know, each city.
You don't like the New England part?
I don't like
the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, what do you do? I never liked the Golden State Warriors. Remember the California Angels?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Never liked the California Angels.
Huh.
Is that weird?
I think it's a little bit, man. But I guess it kind of makes sense. Yeah. I get why it's
rep your city.
What about the Texas Rangers?
I never liked that.
Well, yeah, that one's annoying because y'all don't really have the entirety of the state.
Right.
There's another team here.
Right.
I think in that one, they are the team for the entirety of New England. I do recognize wanting to establish a level of community over all of it. I will say though, also, there's not a non-zero amount of people that I know are like, so where do the New England Patriots
play? I think that's fair.
That is?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is New England? Is that overseas?
All right.
I don't think that happens?
Not with anybody that should be taken seriously.
Well, there's a lot of people that... You saw that Titans video on draft day a few years ago. They're trying to ask these people questions about each team.
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of people who would probably refer to football as sports ball in that video. So I don't know how useful.
I wonder why they just don't want to go with Boston.
Why don't go with represent Boston, your city?
Yeah.
Boston. That's
a strong city.
It's a strong city. It's got some power behind it in terms of championships and such.
I kind of understand with the Texas Rangers. You might not want to go with Arlington or something like that. Yeah. And it's better Texas Rangers or something like that.
But at least
when was
the area.
The last time the Dallas Cowboys played in Dallas? 1971?
Yeah, somewhere in the 70s probably when they left the Cowboys.
But they're still the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know why. I know, and that's why I put it in confessions. I know it's kind of silly.
It is a little silly, but I think there's something
bugged
there.
It's always bugged me.
I would bet that you have more people than not that agree with you on that take, that they don't really love the general geographic instead of being specific to a place.
It feels like a marketing ploy, too.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And shout out to Joel on the Twitch chat with the fantastic thought. F Boston. Appreciate that. Yeah. That was very useful for the conversation.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I am actually usually one of the people that is a lot less annoyed by LeBron James than I think a lot of people are. A lot of people, you know, oh man, LeBron James and all this, he's corny and all those things. And I'm like, yeah, it's true, but it doesn't annoy me nearly as much as it does all other people.
Mm-hmm.
I have found my LeBron James annoyance. There's a few things, but this one is the most recent that really hit me squarely in the chest. Did you guys see that LeBron James, for the remainder of this season, will wear a special edition patch on his jersey to celebrate his, quote, record-setting 23rd NBA season since he made his, and he started in Sacramento, I believe that was yesterday, if memory serves, because that's where he made his debut in 2003. So this is a patch that, if you want to understand it, it has an image of him, or maybe not an image, but a silhouette of him doing the chalk toss, has 23 on it, 23 NBA seasons, and it has three stripes on it, each the color of the teams that he played with.
God.
How self-flating can you be?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I know you have a thought on this.
Are you serious, dog? Like, this isn't our team is wearing a patch, right? This isn't, we're commemorating a legend of the league after they've gone or something.
Yes.
This is just.
Or even like the NFL Man of the Year.
Right.
You know, or something like that.
This is just, look at me. Yeah. This is look at me, Louis stuff. And I cannot abide this. And there's been a lot of things LeBron James has done where I've been like, yeah, I think people are giving him hell for it. You give him hell for this, you got my stamp of approval. What the hell is
so
this?
So did he come up with this?
Is this an NBA thing?
You think Adam Silver was just like, you know what we need to do?
Yes.
Put a patch on LeBron James.
No, yes. That ain't like an Adam Silver type.
And if it is, bump him too.
But because my thought on this.
If LeBron came up with this, I'm with you on it.
I think he did. This is so LeBron. There is nothing more LeBron than this. There's nothing more LeBron than that. That's where I was going with it.
Yeah.
I just like, Come on, brother.
Yeah, if he, if he was any part of this, like, yep, that's a great idea. That's how I want to do that. And yeah. Designing it and all that stuff, I'm with y'all, man. Yeah. You can't do nothing like that for yourself.
It's already bad enough that, you know, when you have a retirement tour, it already looks a little look at me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that when you play long enough and when you're great enough in a game, we all just, you know, we're willing to give that respect.
Yeah.
Doing the thing where you create memorabilia and stuff. Like, this, what are we doing here? This is so contrived.
I am kind of surprised that out of all the things to be annoyed with LeBron with, this is the one that got you right here.
And maybe it's like the straw that broke the camel's back or something.
Okay.
But it's just like, it's because it's so small.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, like, with all of the ways in which the league has bent to LeBron James, and I think there's been reason for it. You need one more step. You got to push it to this. You need the patch on the jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Really? It just feels like so much.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong for it. It's possible. But it's a bridge too far for me.
So I got to confess, man. I've been seeing a lot of tweets. Or I don't know if they're coming from Patriots fans or just fans in general talking about the Texans' last three playoff wins and how they kind of pretty much saying it was easy.
Yeah.
And they ain't really played nobody and all this. Pretty much trying to discredit it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to confess, man, to all the Texans fans out there that's defending it, that's pretty much saying, no, it wasn't easy and, you know, all that stuff. It's going to get a lot worse this year if they advance. Because I think a lot of people, I don't think, even if they make it to a Super Bowl, I still feel people are going to say the Houston Texans had an easy schedule or an easy path to the Super Bowl. Because
really?
Because it was no Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I see.
No Lamar Jackson. Maybe no Josh Allen. Or if it is Josh Allen, then that team was beat up and all this other stuff. We might as well quit fighting this fight, man.
See,
people still going to talk about how easy this schedule was.
I think that's the argument that people are going to make if Josh Allen wins the Super Bowl. Hey, you know, no Lamar Jackson, no Patrick Mahomes. About time you won one. The Texans, I think, are going to be a really good story. But, I mean,
now, it's the first time and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think if people complaining about the last three playoff matches, which I feel like it wasn't no gimme, especially the first year.
I think that suits Josh Allen. Like, hey, Rockets didn't win a championship when Jordan was playing. It's going to be one of those things. You know?
I've been thinking about this in this way before. I don't even think this is specific to the Texans or Josh Allen. I think just the nature of these playoffs where everybody is flawed and there is no dominant force.
Yeah.
Any team who's going to win it, the Super Bowl team, people will look at it and say that this was some level of Mickey Mouse championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know who that's going to matter to? Absolutely no one.
Nobody.
We are haters by nature.
Yeah.
I demonstrated my hater in that previous confession.
Yeah.
We are all going to find ways to hate. That's the nature of this thing. If you win the championship, you win the championship. Ain't no taking that thing back.
I just think it ain't going to get no better because a lot of people, watch when we beat the Patriots or watch when we get to the Super Bowl and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I think people still going to have this conversation. You might as well not even argue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's hard to win a NFL game, period.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? I think around these parts, you did not have to give them that. We were going to dance on that celebration regardless. If you get that Lombardi trophy, the city that had to deal with all the asterisks talk from 2017, they ain't hearing you about it. Easy. Championship, scoreboard.
Yeah.
I agree. It's just funny seeing people like, that playoff game against the Browns. That was a mid-Browns team. Oh, Chargers. Oh, anybody beat the Chargers and then Pittsburgh, they were washed up.
Right.
It's just like, man, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, people still going to keep making excuses for it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those are your lunchtime confessions here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. If you missed it, Christian Gonzalez, the best cornerback on the New England Patriots, seems like he's practicing today. He is in the concussion protocol, sustained one in their game this weekend. And so we'll see how he comes along, but it looks like he is on the path to possibly playing this game. We're watching the practice report to see what the update is on Nico Collins. But coming up next, it is a Wednesday, so you know what we got to do. Put the wig on, John. Let's do some Judge John Lopez next.
All right. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The court of the honorable me is now in session. All right. So a couple cases for you guys right now. Let's talk about this first one. Obviously, some big time news out there with all the job openings. Pittsburgh being the latest one, and people are going to be talking about rank the jobs, rate the jobs. What's the best job out there? The case in front of us today is the Baltimore Ravens is the best job opening available as of this moment in the NFL.
Yeah, I think we know that. I think that feels right, right?
Yeah.
Is the Falcons' job the second best?
Mm.
Figgy, where do you want to line up on this one?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm going to say no, that's not the second best job. Maybe not the the third best job in this whole NFL carousel.
Mm-hmm.
I think I state the case why it's not.
Okay.
I feel like the Atlanta Falcons, they are probably unsure about their quarterback situation. Michael Penix, who they drafted pretty early and kind of shot the world on how early they picked him, he's been hurt a lot. And that's not even talking about how he actually been playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a lot of question marks with that. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they don't have a first-round pick this year
Right. Because
they traded that last in the last draft, and they could have had the, ninth overall pick
mm-hmm. If
they would have kept it. So I don't think that's a pretty
– not even the second best.
I don't think it's – it might not be the third best. Mm-hmm. I think the second best is the Giants' job. I think they have a quarterback that they're very confident with, and they got a couple pieces on defense, and I think they just need pretty much a somebody that can – hold the fort. I don't want to say hold the fort down, but
yeah,
just they need a real head coach to step in there. And then, hell, I will probably, honestly, I will put the Tennessee Titans job over the Atlanta Falcons job, man. Mm-hmm. I just think they don't really know where they're going
right with
this. Now, they could have they probably have a better chance to make the playoffs because they're in the worst division in football,
mm-hmm.
but you really don't know what they're doing, man.
Right.
And I think that job is probably – I will probably put that job fourth or fifth.
All right. And just for the record, the jobs that are open for those who don't know, Baltimore mm-hmm. Ravens, Miami Dolphins, New York Giants, Tennessee Titans, Arizona Cardinals, Atlanta Falcons, Cleveland Browns, Las Vegas Raiders, and Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, Reggie. You think the Atlanta Falcons job just might be the second best?
I am tasked with defending the Falcons job as being the second best one. The Ravens mm-hmm. clearly is. They have a generational quarterback, or maybe if you don't even want to go there, at least he's a two-time MVP. You have to acknowledge that because yeah. That is factually accurate. I think when you step into a job, one of the things that you look at is what is the quarterback situation. And Figgy, you diagnosed pretty correctly that it seems like, you know, the pick that they used on Michael Penix Jr. is not the one
mm-hmm.
for them. However, I kind of could turn this in a different way. I think that they do not have a quarterback that locks you into what they are. We've seen various different places where a coach comes in and they just have to accept the quarterback that is there.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case. You can step in and you can make the quarterback position what you want when you get to that time period. But in the meantime, you have a team that is serviceable and a quarterback that is serviceable that can get you over in mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins. Like, he does exist there for you. So you can play relatively winning football and then still find yourself a quarterback that fits the mold of what you want to do as a coach. Plus, they've finally invested properly in defense to where you have a defense that can do something. You're not rebuilding this from the ground up
mm-hmm.
compared to, like, the Giants, where you're locked in on Jackson Dart. And, yes, he's shown some flashes. I don't know what the high end is for him, and the rest of that team still shows me a little bit of concern. You mentioned who else? The Titans.
Mm-hmm.
That is a full rebuild. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward looks interesting. Are you interested as a head coach in Cam Ward as your quarterback? Possibly. Do you now have to build the rest of this thing out with a division that is looking pretty good around you as well? Oh, by the way, the NFC South, some cheeks.
Yeah.
I think that this is actually quietly a very fertile ground for a coach to step in and be able to win immediately and make this team what they want it to be.
It's interesting. You mentioned, you know, with the Falcons, I mean, they have Bijan and Pitts and, you know, some pieces there. This is a tough one because I as I'm listening to Reggie, I'm like, that's a really good point.
But thanks, man.
But yeah, you did make some really good points.
I have a feeling I know where this goes.
And you do, because ultimately, as much as Kirk Cousins, and that was a strong point, you know, you have a chance to win with him. On the other hand, are you going to be okay? You know, are you going to be a Steelers kind of team that, you know, can win 9 games, 8 games, 10 games, whatever, but never really get over the top with Kirk Cousins because you're kind of saddled in there? Whereas most head coaches, they're going to look at – the first thing they're going to look at is the quarterback. Quarterback as in Cam Ward, quarterback as in Jackson Dart. And their reviews are still pending on those guys, but they're trending in the right way. So I think I'm going to side with Figgy on this one. I would say the Giants, you know, might be the second best job.
And a fair point is noted on the text line that I forgot that they had a potential out on Kirk Cousins, and I have a feeling they will take it all of that money.
Yeah.
So you might not have Kirk Cousins in tow. So that does hurt the opportunity to win an immediate case, depending on how you feel about what
I wonder
Michael
when
Penix
Michael
does.
Penix is going to come back because he got hurt kind of late. So they might have a totally different quarterback.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, next. So we were just talking earlier today about this has the potential to be a good long-term rivalry, the Patriots and the Texans, because of all the connections and, you know, they're both young, good quarterbacks, et cetera. But that's not right now. So Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur, as we have documented and people have talked about, they got a real thing going on. Here's what's on the docket here. The Bears and Packers is the best rivalry in the NFL right now. Figgy?
Yes, Your Honor, I'm going to have to say yes. I think this is the best rivalry in the NFL right now. We've seen a lot of rivalries. You could go down to NFC West. There's a lot of rivalries going on there, the NFC East. Don't get me started on that AFC North. But this is probably one of the first times I've seen two head coaches in the same division not really care for each other like this. Mm-hmm. And they played twice. And I want to say they played more than that because Ben Johnson was a coordinator in that same division as well.
Yeah.
So I think this is a little deeper, man. I think it changed a lot of things when two head coaches that face each other twice a year, maybe three times a year, don't really like each other. So I'm going to say this one is probably the biggest and the best rivalry in the NFL right now.
I think the three times a year might be key, but you can also argue against it, and Reggie is.
Yeah, give me, you mentioned the NFC West, that is where I will go. Seahawks-Niners on the West Coast, I understand that we can kind of tend to forget things.
Mm-hmm.
These are teams that organizationally have stability, but then also have young, relatively young at the very least, because Kyle Shanahan is still relatively young, even though he has developed a pretty strong tree in the league, with really good schematics, like the scheming that they do is really great. Plus, it just feels like both, like the Seahawks are in this weird upward trajectory, and the Niners have a really good quarterback that matched with a great play caller, and I don't know that there's any given point where they will stop being that. I think that looks like a rivalry that is set up to, I mean, hell, that division had three teams win, what was it, 12, 13 games?
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like they're stopping anytime soon. Like, maybe you could say the Rams with Matt Stafford and his advanced age might slow down. Those other two teams feel like they're just going to keep doing this over and over and over again.
Yeah, look, man, I think sometimes the way the case is worded matters, and I think this is one of those cases. The wording here is the best rivalry in the NFL right now. You didn't even mention Chiefs and Bills. I mean, that is still going on just because the Chiefs didn't make the playoffs, you know?
I don't know that it is.
No, but you still got Patrick Mahomes. You still got Josh Allen. You still got deep-seated hate, you know, among those. And I'm not trying to state your case for you.
No, I hear you.
All I'm saying is, you know, right now is it's not right now. So I'm going to side with Reggie on this one because right now you could still argue Chiefs-Bills. You could still argue, obviously, Rams-Seahawks, as you did. And right now, I think it's trending that way, you know, Packers and Bears. But I would side with you on this one.
It is really tough to look at the quarterbacks that they have relatively young in this and the way the coaches, or at least one coach, really does not like them. Oh, they got headgear built into this.
Yeah.
Is this new? Are the cheese grater, is that new?
Relatively new.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which team it was because that's a Texas company that makes those.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a Texas company that makes those. It was one. It might have been. Was it the Bears that actually started, or did they just take up for one of these teams that was like started wearing the cheese graters, and then all of a sudden we were off to the races with Packers opponents wearing the cheese grater hats?
I was watching this. I'm like, how long has this been going on? Did I miss this for several years? Because I don't remember.
No, it started this year, and it's kind of a nice addition. Because what other teams have had head where in but the same way the Packers. As, it's just been them. So it's nice to kind of have that combated some way.
I guess just the Packers. I guess the Dog Pound, don't they wear those helmets a lot, you know, with the ears?
Yeah, but it's not like a not to Pittsburgh
or anything
like that.
It's not like the whole stands either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You sound like a hell of a rivalry right here, though.
Oh, yeah. You want me to reconsider?
I think you should. I might have
retrial?
To. Yeah, I might have to sign up for a retrial.
You're
going to
appeal?
This
yeah.
So there you go. A little Judge John Lopez here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Some other attorneys weighing in here from the 713. Titans have $100 million in cap space, more than anyone else. That is there. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're just going to go into free agency and just buy themselves into better standing as
a team. No, but
it's
good to have.
It is. And they're going to need to fix some
I mean, the Texans are here because
blocks.
Of that, having extra money.
They are. Yeah, they are. Yeah. But then they supplemented that with making sure to draft Willie right. really well.
Right.
The guy, Mike Borgonzi, what's his name? Mm-hmm. I always forget how to say his name. He's got his work ahead of him, and he's got a lot of tools and a lot of cards to play, but he's going to need to play them right to get them into the right place. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said, see the Bears fan who snuck in an actual cheese grater and cheese? Hey, man.
Oh, yeah.
How did they get that in there?
Shaking it the whole time.
They had the camera on him the whole time.
That feels like a really dumb thing to do. Like, I understand why you do it. I would not like to get thrown out of
him. They kept showing him.
They kept showing them.
Maybe they didn't throw them out. I feel like that's a great way to get thrown out and banned from your favorite team's place. That'd be a very weird place to be. But hey, what do I know? All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Right now, let's give a 4-pack of tickets away to the Houston Automotive Show. Caller number 7 right now, 713-572-4610, will win a 4-pack of tickets to go to one of the days of the Houston Automotive Show. And Lopez, I mean, you've been talking all about the Automotive Show.
Oh, it's big time, man. January 28th, February 1st, cars and boats.
Yeah, so pick one of those. Go out and see all of the various different things that are out there. I mean, there's today's cars and trucks, off-road adventures, all sorts of different things. In fact, you can see 5 acres of the newest sports boats all around. Obviously, you can pay for it by getting tickets at automotiveshow.com, or you can call in right now. Call number 7, 713-572-4610 will win that 4-pack of tickets. We're giving away a 4-pack every day for the remainder of this week and next week as well, so make sure you keep it locked here to Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, where do you think D'Amico Ryan's rates amongst the head coaches in the league? Because there is one analyst that had a somewhat surprising ranking of D'Amico Ryans. Let's talk about it next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.